I'd like to invite our sister Claire above. I'm very excited about what she's going to share, and I believe that God's going to do some amazing things through her testimony. Claire?
Thank you, Pastor Unami. Yeah, so we have been journeying the last few weeks on a series called Your Faith Story. And it's been a great series because we've heard from our pastors, but the thing that I've loved the most, I've actually heard from, you know, here at Fremantle and our other campus at Wellard, we've heard from people, our people who have walked the walk, who have, you know, had breakthroughs in their life. It was great to hear from Greg and Caroline a couple of weeks ago. I was really encouraged by their message of just, you know, just staying the faith, and just, you know, Caroline shared about her connect group and how important it was as when they were going through something, just people praying. And, you know, it's hearing those stories, and that's why we share throughout our church life. We share, we love to share video clips, and we love to share, we just hear people's testimonies because it's encouragement. It's encouragement. And, my name is Claire, for those of you who might not know me. I'm part of the staff here. I mostly look after or the media side of things, amongst other things. But, you know, I love our church. And it's just, I love being a part of just this community of faith, this community of believers. And it's just so good when you look out there and you see so many people from different walks of life, different generations, different cultures. That is the best part about our church. It's just all the different people. We love it. So anyway, what exactly is faith? Well, I think most of us probably know, can probably recite what the Bible says about faith. We probably hear many messages preach that, you know, faith is a belief, a firm persuasion, an assurance, a trust, a confidence. Faith, and what Hebrews 11 verse 1 says very clearly, that faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. Well, that's all well and good to know what faith is, but that's step one. You know, what do we do with faith? You know, do we just believe it in our head? Is that the end of it? Do we just believe that what God says is what God says? But when you face things, there's a thing that happens. You can know what faith is in your head, but it's about knowing what faith is in your heart. In my journey, I have seen, for me, faith is an action. I've noticed when I'm facing something that I actually have to make a choice to believe. You know, faith is what helps us to get us through. It gives us the strength in times of weakness, and without faith we're nothing. But what does it really mean when we say we have faith? What does it really mean to say when we say, you know, God's got this? I know that we said that a lot over the last couple of years. God's got this in the midst of a pandemic. God's got this. That was probably our catchphrase. God's got this. And it's true, God does have this. But do we know that in our heart? And today, my faith story, the things that I've gone through, I've had that revelation in my heart. And I'm hoping today, my prayer is that you will also leave today with just that knowledge, not just in your head, but that conviction in your heart that God is a faithful God, that you can trust God. So there are so many, I look back over my life and there are so many things that I can see God working in, big and small. You know, God works in the big and the little things. But there probably are three big, massive, pivotal things in my life where I had to really push through and break through. And the first big moment of my life where my faith was truly tested was with a mental health issue. Now, I know I'm such a happy, joyful person. I'm an out there person. So if I was to tell you that I actually have OCD and major clinical depression, would you believe me? Everyone's shaking their heads. No. Well, actually, I do. But I can testify today that I'm in remission. You know, I can live a good life because God is a good God. Yeah, deserves a clap. And it's tough. It was a black time of my life, but my hope in God is what got me through. So So when I had my lovely daughter, Abriella, she's a delight, we love her. Shortly after I had her, I had what was called postnatal depression. Didn't know it. Very common these days. I think lots of women have it. In the past, they had it but didn't really know what it was, and they just kept ploughing through. And as a Christian, I grew up in a Christian, I was born into a Christian home, I grew up in the church. Was in leadership at the time in a church, and we were living in Sydney, and it's just kind of like you just plough through because you're a Christian, you got to stand strong no matter what happens. But you know what? Sometimes things happen to us and out of our control. And so my journey through that, I just kept walking through, didn't know what really was going on. I mean, depression, that's, you know, you feel depressed. With OCD, it's a bit different. It's an anxiety disorder, and you probably heard of OCD, and a lot of people, like, they wash their hands because they're scared of germs. That's what I thought OCD was, but it comes in many different ways, and it manifests in different ways. And for me, a big part of what happened to me was I would get intrusive thoughts in my mind. It's kind of like, that's, I don't want to think about that. And it literally, when I got to the point where I was so ill with it, that I was in such a black, dark place that my mind, when I was awake, it was all I can say was that it was like a horror movie on rewind and fast forward constantly throughout my mind. I couldn't get rid of the thoughts. I didn't want to think the thoughts. And it was really upsetting my life. And I was getting to the point where, you know, I was double checking, did I turn the oven off and on, off? Like, I stand there for 5 minutes, on, off, light switch, on, off. I had to walk. We lived in an apartment in Sydney, and I had to walk up and down the stairs about 5 times before I could actually leave in the car to make sure I locked the door. So it was getting to the point where, yeah, I wasn't really well. And my husband, God bless him, I didn't want to go to the doctors because I was convinced they were going to take my daughter away from me. I mean, I was that ill. God bless my husband. He is a good Christian, faithful man, a very wise man. He said, love. Yeah, definitely give a clap. My husband's at the back there. He's in the back. He's on the Power of the Sound team. But my husband said, you've got to go to the doctor because you're not well. You know what? I can laugh about it now. It was a horrible place, but the grace of God, I can laugh about it now because God's a faithful God. I'm here standing today that, you know, that God is faithful God. Anyway, so we did go to the doctor. He came with me, and fortunately, we had a Christian doctor, Christian GP, so she was completely understood, and straight away, yep, this is what you have, and we got on to doing things. But you know what? I got to see a psychiatrist. I mean, I had no idea what I had, and every time you sort of say, well, this is what's happening, and you think, oh, I'm the only person in the world that can be feeling this way, thinking these things, acting, reacting like this, and the doctor's like, well, this is part of it, and this is, like, there was a name for all the different things, and there's different therapies that you can use to work through, and, you know, today, this day and age, I'm so grateful for our medical professions, and I'm so grateful that, you know, I mean, mental health is still a bit of a taboo, but there's so much help out there, and people are recognising that it's a real illness, and it's not just, you know, I thought I was demon-possessed, to be quite honest, back in when I was really, really ill. I mean, how else as a Christian would you explain what was going on in my head? It had to be the devil in there. So I thought I had to do deliverance and all that sort of stuff. But no, it was an OCD, and one of the symptoms of OCD can be to have intrusive thoughts. So it manifests in different people. But, you know, for me, when I was in that dark, dark place, I was so numb. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't even look after my daughter. God bless her. She was such a lovely, good girl. I can remember when I was quite ill, lying on my couch. She was just happily playing with her toys in the lounge, just not a care in the world. Just, you know, and I was like completely numb. I could not take care of her. And every now and then she'd come over and she'd give me a pat and a cuddle. Then she'd go off and play. So she wasn't at all perturbed by the fact that her mother was, yeah, not well. So God gave us a great child, and, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, her life, she was not disturbed by that in any way, because, you know, God really did have his hand on our family. And, you know, just with a church we went to, and just both my husband and I, our families are Christians, so, you know, we had that great support. And I can't tell you enough just how much being part of a community of faith just is so important, because that is a support. I didn't have faith at that point. I had a hope in God that kept me going, that I knew deep down in my heart, I had that conviction. There was a hope in God. I knew that God had to do something. If I didn't know God, there's quite a high percentage that I would not be here today. I mean, that's how bad it was. And so that's one part of my story. So when we moved to Perth in 2010, Abriella was 2.5. I was probably about 70% better from my mental health issues. So we moved to Perth. Good choice. We like to do things by half in our family. It's like one of the things that the doctors say, some of the biggest stressful moments is when you move house, move anywhere, and when you go through the buying a house and changing jobs, like the big changes are your most stressful times. So that was a good plan. I was 70% well and we moved to Perth. But you know what? God is a good God, and it was just how the circumstances happened, how, you know, there was reasons behind it, which I won't get into today. But I felt that I was much better. And at 70%, I was functioning pretty normally. I was on my road to recovery. I've been working for a couple of years with, my psychiatrist, and we were well. So I thought, I'm going to be good. We're going to be good. It's going to be good. So we land in Perth, join the church, and, then I start getting mental health episodes. They call them episodes where, you know, things got a little bit haywire. And I was like, oh, God, I thought that I was getting better. You know, I thought that I was, you know, healed or, you know, being healed from this. But yet it's rearing it up its ugly head again. And again, we had to move to Perth, so we had to find new jobs, and we were, like, hoping to buy a house. And you know, I just kind of expected things to happen quickly. Like, I expected David to be able to go and find a job straight away. I still had a little girl, so a little toddler, so I was at that stage not looking for a job. I thought we'd find a house, it would just all fit into place. Because, come on, God, we believe we're coming here because you led us here. But oh no. There was a wait sometimes. And we actually stayed with David's parents for about 6 months in their little house before we actually moved into our rental place. And we wanted to buy, but no, that didn't work out. So anyway, I can remember, again, because of the stress and everything, my mental health issues were beginning to ramp up. And again, I just was in that place and I was getting a bit anxious. I'm starting to panic because it wasn't that long ago when I was in that black place, and I'm like, I can't go back there. It's such a horrible place. And I can remember standing there going, well, the word says look to God. Well, I don't know what that means. Like, how do I actually look to God? I didn't have the English words, the actual words, I didn't know what to pray. You know, we're praying for a job, to find a house. We want, you know, all the things that go with what you've got to do to find a house. And I can remember going, I don't actually know the words to pray. I don't have the words. I don't even have the ability to look to God. I mean, how do you look to God? I mean, what does that even mean? And, you know, fortunately, family and friends, a good church, you know, support around you and give you the strength when you can't, when you you're facing something and all you can see is a wall. There are other people around you that can support and pray for you. And so many times in my life, when I've been going through stuff, just knowing that you've got people praying for you, that is such an encouragement. But I had to make a choice. And I could choose to keep wallowing in my panic and my fear and in my misery, or I could make a choice to do something. And eventually, you know, we did. It probably took a couple of years longer than we would have liked. But eventually, God led us and opened the doors miraculously, actually, to the house that we're living in now. We own our own house. We've been in there for 8 years. And miraculously, God opened those doors, as I said. And, I mean, I have shared that story before, and we'll share it again. But today, you know, this, the faithfulness of God, he did open those doors. And now it's time to move on to a new house. We've had a house on the market because we've grown. Since we've lived there, we've had another child. I've got my own business. So we've outgrown our space. So we are looking to, we're on the market and we're looking to move again. But oh my goodness, I thought this is going to happen really quickly. It's going to work out well. Here we go again. But you know what? This time around, you know, I know I've had faith because I've lived it. I've been through it. And this time around, I thought, oh, my faith's going to be strong and good. I mean, it has been to some extent, but, you know, things happen out of your control and I get cross. You go, okay, what's happened, God? Come on. This isn't how it's supposed to go. You know, you get an offer and it's, you come round to sign the papers and something crops up and it falls through and you're like, come on, God, this is not right here. And what cropped up was, again, out of our control, was just a circumstance that cropped up. And it was, you know, not necessarily something we've done, but it's just something that cropped up with the house. And we're like, oh, I was so cross. And you know what? It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how many times you might have gone through, and you can know the goodness of God, and you know that God's a faithful God. It doesn't matter. The moment matters because you've got emotions. You know, you can still get upset. You can still get cross. We're human. We react. And it's not a bad thing to necessarily have emotions. Sometimes emotions can actually be good things in a way that it can sort of point that something's not quite right. I'm getting angry. I'm getting cross. Yeah, my attitude's not quite right here. But again, I had to make a choice. Now, I could be cross. And cross mother, cross clear at home is not very nice. My husband, my children, I'm snapping at them. I'm in a mood. Not a pleasant person to be around. And I don't want to be that grumpy person. But my emotions and my attitude, that was how I was manifesting. It's how what was happening. So again, I had to make a choice. God, my choice is that I don't want to be cross. And you know, you can go to God if you're feeling afraid, if you're feeling upset, if you are down, if you are depressed, if you are cross about a situation, you can go to God. That is what is so awesome about our God. He is, you know, just such a faithful God, and He's a gracious God. I mean, He knows what we're going through. We can go to Him. We don't have to come to Him already perfectly fine. In fact, we come to Him as we are, and we can go to God and say, God, I'm cross about this situation. This isn't fair. I've been done a bad one. Like, you know, it just felt like we'd been, you know, just someone's done a bad one on us. We felt that we, you know, and look, I had a right to be cross. But the difference is, me staying in that cross attitude isn't going to make the difference of the situation. Me staying in that cross attitude is going to make me be cross. It's going to make me be negative. It's going to make me speak out negative words and angry words. So I had to make a choice. And in fact, even last week, I had to make a choice. I can't be cross. I've got to give it to God. So I know that, you know, people say, oh, you know, give it to God, and God's come through for me, and that's wonderful. But how do you actually do it? What is the process to actually give it to God? Well, one of the things I learned when working with my psychiatrist is that when you have a mental health issue, or when you have any actual serious health issue, you do a health plan, or we call it a mental health plan. And on that plan, you basically have the different steps that you do so that when you are in an episode and you can't think clearly and you're depressed and you're down and you can't make decisions, you can look at your mental health plan and know step one, step two, step three, step four. So step one is always call my psychiatrist. And for me, there's different things that I do. And there's things, and on there is the early warning signs. So I can look at that and go, okay, yep. Yeah, I'm feeling that, I'm reacting in that way, I'm thinking that. That is all my early warning signs of my mental health getting a little bit out of whack. And so then I know exactly what I have to do. And there's even the things like, you know, like one of the things that when you're depressed is that you want to just hide away. And for me, one of the things that actually helps me to feel better is actually go out there and be with other people. And so I have all these things that I need to do. that can actually help to, you know, get to your recovery quicker. So one of the things I realized is that we need a spiritual health plan. So, because when you're feeling numb, when you are facing a situation, it's so hard to actually know what to do. You don't feel it. You're not going to feel, sometimes you don't feel that God's there. And I know I felt that God wasn't there. He was, but I couldn't feel it because my emotions were in the way. So this is the one thing I've learnt going through my spiritual health issues. It's having a spiritual health plan. So, and I have it written out. It's in my, I have it written out. My mental health plan's on the side of my fridge, so I can not, haven't had to look there for a long time, but I know it's there. So when I, you know, there. So my spiritual health plan, I have that written out. And so I'm going to go through my spiritual health plan with you today, and I hope that some of these things could be helpful for you. So first of all, spiritual health plan number one is cling to God. That's step number one. It's about refocusing on Him and not our problems. So what does it mean to cling to God? Well, it's crying out to God for help. It's speaking to Him. It's telling Him how you feel. God, I'm cross about the situation. This is not fair. I felt like we've been, it's against us. Not anything I've done, but the situation, it's against us. Not right. Not fair. You know, God is a gracious and loving God. We can actually be raw and real and come to Him in our rawness. He's a loving God, and He wants us to come to Him. If we're going to complain, if we're going to be cross, we're going to be upset, be that to God, because it's, you're releasing that. But you're not staying in there. You're releasing it. Part of clinging to God and crying out to God for help is it's being reflective. One of the things I've learned as part of our mental health plan is you've got to be reflective. You've got to actually step back from the situation and look at it and go, okay, I'm feeling this way, this emotion. Do I have a reason to feel this? What's causing this? Because when you suffer from depression, the minute you start to feel physically down and low, you can panic because you think, oh, I'm getting bad again. But sometimes, you know, we do have a reason to be a bit low. Something could have happened that triggered that. Something could have happened to make you grieve or to make you feel upset or to make you be angry or be cross. So it is good to be real and be reflective and actually think, you know, why am I feeling this way? I mean, sometimes it's obvious. I'm feeling cross, Lord, because this person was going to sign the offer, but something cropped up. Okay, so sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not so much. Sometimes our emotions can actually be, you know, other things. Like I can remember about 2 months ago, my sister-in-law, they bought their house. And I'm like, darn it, God. Hang on a second. They weren't even looking to buy a house. We've been looking for a few months and I was actually quite upset. And I'm like, hang on. I couldn't even be happy for them. I couldn't even say, yay, yoo-hoo. I was like, that's not fair, God. It's not fair, God. So I had to go, hang on, I'm feeling something here. What am I feeling? And I had to actually take a step back and go, well, actually, I'm feeling jealous. Because they got the house. They were looking for their house much shorter than we were. How come they've got the house and we haven't got? Come on. And I was like, hang on a second, Claire. They've actually been living a hard life for the last 5 years. Well, you've been enjoying your house. They moved to Perth and they had some serious financial things. They never thought they'd ever be able to buy a house again. And they weren't even looking for a house, but just their circumstances changed. And it's like, as soon as I said, Lord, I'm sorry, that's jealous. I don't want to be that. I don't want to have that hardness in my soul. The minute I let that go, I could be happy for them. You know, and I could then continue my, thank you, God, you did it for them. You know, you did it for them. You can do it for us. It's encouragement. And like, you know, so many times I've like, come on, God, they've got that. They've got their miracle. They've got their answer. What about me? You know, but it's like in the moment, sorry, I'm sorry, I'm not a very serious person. Just kind of saying, I'm not a serious person, so I, you know, part of my personality is to laugh about things. So it's so good to be able to look back and laugh over these things. But they're serious in the moment. So, you know, so sometimes we don't recognize our emotions. So it's so important to go, okay, take a moment, step back and be reflective. Why am I feeling this? What is that thing I'm feeling? And then you've got to give it to God. Sometimes it means you've got to repent. Sometimes it means you've just got to choose to, just to choose to say, God, I'm just going to choose you. Okay, so the next one is invite God in. And that kind of is part B of cling to God. Invite God in. That's about praying. Most importantly, pray. Pray to God. Pray to God. Just keep praying. And look, as I said before, my big things that I've been in, I've been numb. I didn't have the words to pray. So pray in tongues. I could do that. I didn't have to think about what to do. Pray in tongues. If that's all you can do, pray in tongues. But pray. Whatever you can do, pray. It's so important to pray. And part of that when you're praying is that you're spending time with God. It's spending time with God that God will connect with you. God knows how to connect with us. We're all different. We think different. We get things differently from God. Now, scripture here in Romans 8, verse 26 to 28, it says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside us, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knowing our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God has worked into something good. So if you can't pray, if all you can do is go, God, just crying out to God, if that's all you can do, do that, but pray, pray and pray. And, you know, it's in those moments when you pray that, you know, God does connect to you. And sometimes I find that he doesn't connect to me like right in that immediate moment when I'm spending time with him, when I'm praying, I'm looking at the scriptures. But later on, he'll just drop something in your head. So for me, at the beginning of our journey of selling our house, and things started to happen, I was like going, God, I can't, this is getting really big and getting out of our control again. And I was starting to feel quite anxious and thinking, okay, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, we're not doing this right. And you know what's helpful, people? You know, the real estate agents are very helpful, but sometimes their help is not really helpful, if you know what I mean. Like they're saying, well, it's not working out the way you want it because you've done this, this and this. And I'm like, oh, we can't do any different. This is how we have to process with what we're doing. You know, we ask advice, and you know, advice is great, but at the end of the day, you've got to say, well, God, what do we do? What is right for us? And we're at the point where we had all this information, all this wonderful advice, and we were like, okay, so obviously what we had done so far is not right. And so we were thinking about changing the process, and then we were going, but we can't really because A, B, C, D. And in the end, I had to go, oh, I was just starting to get very anxious, very upset, and I was losing my faith. And so I had to go back to God and say, Lord, I'm struggling here. I'm really struggling. And so I had my scriptures. I was praying about it. I'm saying, God, I know you've done it before. I know you've done it before. You bought us a house in a situation. It was miraculous conditions. So I know you can do it again. But I was losing my faith. And, you know, I was praying about it and going, I've got to give this to you, God. That's all I can do. And then a little bit later on during my day, in fact, I think it was that evening, I was in the bathroom, I'm pretty sure I was blow drying my hair. And as I was standing there, you know, those are good moments where you're not really thinking about anything, you're just kind of like la 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 la, and bam, in my mind, I often think in pictures, God dropped this picture. And I know it's from God because it's not normally anything I think about, I'm interested in any way. But he showed me this picture. Like you've got the world, our globe, our Earth, and it's one planet and amongst lots of other planets. I mean, this is something my daughter and my husband will be thinking about because they love all that kind of stuff. I like the sparkly stars, but everything else I don't really care. So I knew it was from God, but he was like saying, "I created Earth." Like he just spoke, and it was there. Like click your fingers, it was there. I created all the other planets. Some are big, some are small. I'm not even sure if Earth's the biggest planet. I don't even know. I think there are other bigger planets. There's the moon and the sun. I mean, I don't know, okay? But I know there are big ones, there's little ones, and God created it all. My daughter's laughing at me. And God said, hello, I'm above all of this universe that you're in. Because I just went like that. So I'm actually up here above it all. And like from our perspective, these things are massive. And God was like, hey, here's planet Earth. amongst the universe. And where's Perth? Somewhere on planet Earth is Perth. And where are you in Perth? This tiny, like, point of a dot is where I am and my problem. And God was like, watch this. Like, my breath. Like, how hard is that for God to go over planet Earth? And the breath of God surrounds the entire planet. God's like, how can I not fix this for you? How can I not, Claire? Hello. It's not hard for me. So I realized that I'd actually put God in a box. I was looking at my circumstances going, God, this is so big. I'd lost perspective of the spiritual. So, you know, God will answer us. And, you know, there's a scripture that talks about in Matthew 17, verse 20, that I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there and it would move, nothing would be impossible. So I like to think of that mountain as like not moving, crumbling. That's just me. And so, like, as I said, one path from God. I mean, how hard? The mountain just crumbles. I mean, sometimes God gives us the tools in which to make, bit by bit, the mountain crumble. Sometimes God gives something else or someone else comes along and the mountain crumbles. Sometimes God just goes, bing, and the mountain crumbles. But it's not us that have to do it. That's why our faith doesn't have to be massive, because it's not us. It's not us that does it, it's God. And in that moment, I'm like, God, you're right. I'd put you in a box. I had realized that you were not, I'd lost the picture of how big you really are. This is the magnificence of you. So, you know, pray and spend time with God, because in those moments that God is going to connect with you, he's going to click, something is going to spark in your soul, in your spirit, that's just going to give you back that faith, give you back that true understanding that God is God. The other thing is speak God's truth. And look, these particular steps are in no order. In fact, I think you pretty much need to do them all at the same time. So they're not in any particular order. They're all very important. Now, speak God's truth. It's find scriptures that spark something in your heart. When you're going through something, you can look up a word or a theme that relates to your situation, your emotions, or your state of mind. You know, search His word for inspiration. I mean, it can mean going to your Bible concordance or going to Google and searching it up. Scriptures for faith. Scriptures for, I even looked up scriptures for buying a house. There were scriptures that someone else had written that they'd used when they were buying a house. Very helpful. You know, you can, you know, devotions like the You app, what do we call it? You Bible. So good, because you can actually search for devotions on particular subjects and scriptures, and, you know, it's so good. But one of the things I've learned a long time ago is that when you're facing something, you're fighting something, the Word of God is a double-edged sword. It's the Word of God that is the truth, and we've got to speak that truth. When we first were buying the house that we live in now, there was one scripture that that stepped out and became my scripture of attack. Every time I felt upset, every time I felt discouraged, I had it printed out and stuck on my wall, and I would stand in front of it and I would just keep saying that scripture over and over again. And it's in Jeremiah 17, verse 8. It says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. When we were buying a house, there was a housing drought. So I kind of felt that just, as I was reading through, searching scriptures, that just jumped out at me. And I said, God, we're in a drought, but it doesn't matter because we will still bear fruit. Your word says we'll bear fruit. And that was my scripture for the moment. And I've used that scripture many times when you're going through something and it doesn't seem in the natural that it could be possible. God, I'm planted in you. It's you. I don't have to be worried. My leaves stay green. I will bear fruit even in a drought, even when it's a fire of flames, even when it's something's happening. I will bear fruit. I can stand steadfast. I will bear fruit. And the other one that I have for just recently is in Psalm 37, verse 3 to 7, but we won't read the whole thing. But basically it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn and the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord. And it goes on to say in verse number in part of 7 is, don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Now, I'm not specifically saying that anyone around buying the house was wicked or whatever, but it's like sometimes you can go, how can these people get things? And they're not even Christians. Like, how do they get prosperity? Not even Christians, God. But I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about when we see a house and we think it's the right one and there's other people wanting to buy the house. I don't have to worry. Because if it's the right house for us, you know, God's got it. No one else can actually get our house. It's good. It's all good. And, you know, we don't have to worry about whatever anyone else is doing because I can trust my God. So I'm standing on that scripture and I'm standing on the scripture that, you know, we, in a drought, we can still bear fruit. The last thing I want to say is choose to keep your spirit sweet. And sometimes this is kind of a hard thing to do. It's praise God despite the circumstances. You know, it's about looking to God's goodness. Rejoice anyway, even if you don't feel like it. And it's like you've got to make a choice. Like with your emotions, you've got to choose to give it to God. You've got to choose to find a scripture that says that I'm loved. Find a scripture that says that God is my provider. You've got to find a scripture that says the opposite of what that negative feeling is. We can also choose to praise, to worship God, be joyful. So that we can wait well. When we're waiting, we can wait well. And one other thing that is so important, I did briefly mention this before, is be part of a faith community. That's church. It's our connect groups. This is where you can be encouraged by others. It's where you can be upheld by others. Oh, thank you, wonderful team. There's a wonderful story in Exodus 17 with the Israelites fighting the Amalekites. And Moses is standing on the hillside, and basically both his arms had to be raised over the hillside, over the mountaintop. And when his hands were raised to the Lord, the Israelites were winning. As soon as his arms dropped, the Amalekites were winning. So it's kind of like he had to have his arms up. But I don't know how long he stood, but it must have been a very long time. He was getting so tired. He couldn't, it's hard for him to keep his arms up in faith. So I think it was Aaron and Hur. Joshua was fighting the battle. Aaron and Hur come in beside them, put a rock he could sit on. They at times held up his hands, his arms. Now that to me is a picture of the church. That's been the picture of your brothers and sisters, your connect groups. When you cannot, your arms are getting heavy, you can't stand in that faith any longer. It's when they come around you and support you. It's so important to be part of a faith community. So what can we take away from this? You know, Philippians 1 verse 6 says, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. You know, God is for us. Who can be against us? Having faith is not dependent on our abilities or even how we are feeling. It's purely focusing on God's abilities, choosing to lift our eyes from the natural and looking to the spiritual. You know, we do that by making a choice to go to God. You cling to him. You pray. You find those scriptures and you memorize them. You stick them up on your wall. The alternative is staying in our misery and desperation. Well, I know where I want to be. You know, it's such a good place that when you're believing for something and it seems impossible, but you can still have that joy. That's when you know that you've got your faith in God. You know, just as the band has come back on stage, in a moment we're just going to sing a song, and I just love to open up the front here for prayer. For anyone who, there's particular areas that I specifically feel we want to pray for. We've got our pastors, Pastor Nomi, we've got Pastor Charlie and Helen, we've got Steve. Got Greg, I think somewhere, our board members, just our prayer people. They're going to come up and they're going to be here to pray with you. But I specifically want to pray for people with mental health issues because I know what a dark place that is. And I've been there. And I wouldn't be here today telling you this story if it wasn't for God. You know, God can break through for you on that. So if you are suffering from any kind of mental health issues, I'd love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you. Perhaps you might even be a family member or perhaps a close friend of yours that might have mental health issues. Why don't you come forward too? Because you can stand in the gap for those people. And also want to pray for people specifically who need help and need encouragement in their faith. If you are believing something, if you are so tired in the waiting, I'd love to pray for you. Because God is a gracious and loving God. And of course, if anything else that has kind of sparked your heart when I've shared this morning, please come forward. You know, we're just going to sing a song. They're going to lead us in a song. It's only going to be short, but as they're singing, please, why don't we all stand to our feet right now and we'll sing along. But if you would like prayer, as they're singing, please take that courage. I invite you to take that courage. Step out of your seats and come to the front. You know, God is a good God. I know He is. I've seen Him work. I just want you to have that understanding of how amazing God is. And just have that knowledge in your heart. He's a good God. So please come forward. We're going to pray for you. We're going to expect God to do some amazing things.